This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
This is Glenn McGeek from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to the Horses in the Morning Show, brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine for March 13th, episode 1640. Today, Jamie is off on vacation somewhere, and Jennifer and I are spending some time with the in-laws who are in for a visit. So we have a best of for you today, but boy, do I have a fun one. It is the first episode after American Pharoah won the Triple Crown. You can relive it all over again. So enjoy. We'll be back tomorrow with the Endurance episode and Wednesday with our special Podcasters episode. 10 podcasters, one show. Good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
That's right. It happened. Okay, keep it together. Keep it together.
Get through the opener, at least.
I know, from Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for June 8th, 2 days after a Triple Crown, episode 1185. This episode is brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse world. Good morning, Pharaoh.
It's up to you, New York, New York.
They're off in the Belmont Stakes. Not a great start for American Pharoah, but he will be set to the lead by Victor Espinosa. So he waits no longer. Right to the front for American Pharoah in the race to the first turn, but he did not come out of the gate all that well. Frosted is away running in second position. Materiality is third to the outside. A ground-saving run for Mubtahij, who's right behind American Pharoah into that first turn that made from Lucky. Keenice, Taylor Verve, and the trailer is Fremento. The opening quarter mile was 24 seconds flat. A sensible fraction for American Pharoah, who leads the way on that sweeping first turn here at Belmont Park. And Materiality is kept close by John Velasquez, running in second position. Mubtahij, Frosted, and Keenice are right there. Keenice is not far behind at all. He's two lengths off the lead. Then it's Made from Lucky. It's four lengths more back to Taylor Verve and Fremento of 48 and 4.5 mile. So it continues to be a moderate tempo up the backstretch here. And it is American Pharoah who leads the way by 3/4 of a length. And Materiality keeps the pressure on in second. Mubtahij is third on the inside. And then comes Keenice in fourth. Frosted is fifth. Made from Lucky. Ridden along to keep up with the field. He's sixth, and he's 4.5 lengths off of American Pharoah. Fremento and Taylor Verver at the back of the pack. So, American Pharoah is halfway home in the Belmont. 3/4 went in 1:13 and 2/5 seconds. And he begins his run into the far turn. 3/4 of a length ahead of Materiality in second. And then it's Keenice on the outside of Mubtahij. Frosted in traffic behind them. And then Made from Lucky on the outside. Around the far turn. And American Pharoah continues to lead the way. He's on top by 3/4 of a length. Mubtahij is on
the
rail.
And now he's a length
behind
in
second.
And American Pharoah gets away. American Pharoah has opened up a two-length lead as they come to the top of the stretch. And Frosted has moved up into second. And they're into the stretch. And American Pharoah makes his run for glory as they come into the final furlong. Frosted is second with 1/8 of a mile to go. American Pharoah's got a two-length lead. Frosted is all out at the 16th pole. And here it is. The 37-year wait is over. American Pharoah is finally the one. American Pharoah has won the Triple Crown.
Because you know I'm all about that tail, and the triple. I'm all about that tail, go Pharoah. I'm all about that tail, and the triple. I'm all about that tail, tail.
He did it! American Pharoah has ended the 37-year drought to a deafening roar from the fans here at Belmont Park.
Oh, I just did it all over again. I'm exhausted.
I'll tell you what, when they rounded that pole and when you saw Frosted making his move, I was going, oh, God, here we go again. And then Frosted just ran out of steam. Then Key Nice was coming up, too. We're going to have the Key Nice people back on today. And he was coming up, too. And I thought, wow, he's coming up from the outside very fast. But he held on. He held on.
See, it's funny watching everybody's kind of bid for the lead and then watching Pharaoh to me and his unbelievably smooth stride and smooth gallop. I was like, there's nobody. There's nobody who's going to do it.
and it's true. He has that secretariat stride. I mean, his stride is huge. If you watched him next to Frosted when they were side close there, Frosted's stride, I mean, he was taking two steps for every one of Pharaoh's. It was,
and it just, like, compared to the silkiness of his motion, watch, and Frosted is nobody to sneeze at. That horse is awesome. But if you watch that home stretch, just see how almost jerky Frosted looks, herky-jerky, like his movement, just compared to that fluid galloping stride that American Pharaoh has. It was just awesome.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take callers this morning. We wanted to give as many of our listeners in as we could, and I see we have some already on here, so we're going to let Jennifer get them lined up. But first, she's going to tell us what's coming up on today's exciting post-Belmont Triple Crown show.
On today's Omega Alpha Monday edition, as if you hadn't guessed already, the American thoroughbred racing industry's clock has been reset, thanks to American Thorough, and we will be chatting endlessly about Saturday's historic run for the Carnations, along with Jerry Crawford, as Glenn mentioned, from Donegal Racing, who is going to be joining us. He was there live to watch his horse Keen Ice gallop along to a very respectable third place, and I think if that race had another quarter mile, he'd have been in second place. And then finishing up, we'll have the Wacky World of Horse Nation keeps the fun galloping along well past the finish. So stay tuned for the fight, folks.
And we have a rookie on Horse Nation with us today, too, filling in for Leslie. So we get to, like, go through pledge school or something. We'll get to break
in
a rookie.
Yeah,
we're going to haze her. That's right. Well, let's and she's probably listening now going, oh, God. we are inviting callers today. If you want to call in, I see we have a number of them. Jennifer's going to start to get you guys set up right now to talk to us, and we'll try and get to you as fast as possible. The new number is 435-272-1997. Jennifer's going to try and figure out how to take callers because it'll be her first time. So
that's just as easy to remember as
the old one. Yeah. 435-272-1997. So she's going to get them set up right now. But first, we have to do our quick daily winnies, and then we'll go right to the callers. And I got this for daily winnies. We're not going to do our usual daily winnie. We're just going to use this.
American Pharaoh has won the Triple Crown!
How about that? We'll just use that for our daily winnies. And I have to add this for my daily winnies today because... I have two birthdays. Gina Moronic, who's one of our listeners, probably listening right now. Happy birthday, Gina. And Jen's brother, Justin. It's his birthday also.
I have a brother named Justin.
Do
See
you?
Things we learn about each other.
Yeah. I didn't. Oh, that's right. You do. That's right. I forgot
about that. My twin brother.
Yeah. I keep forgetting. It goes out of my mind that you even have a twin brother.
Well, yeah, I think when you're in your 30s, it just doesn't matter anymore.
American Pharaoh has won the Triple Crown!
Like, you need to freaking ask who gets my daily winnie.
Let me guess.
Are you kidding me? I'm going to give it to Mubtai. She came in fourth. No, I'm just kidding. Without a doubt, gosh, what a horse. What a jockey. I mean, Victor Espinosa rode all three of those races perfect. There are 2,500 ways to lose, and there's only one way to win. And he found that way every single time. What a pro. What a great story. And you know what?
I'm very disappointed, though, because you didn't give it to me for picking all three in order. AP, Frosted, Keen Ice. Woohoo! I'm the only one who picked them. Just saying.
I didn't feel like I needed to because you were going to toot your own horn.
Oh, I'll be tooting it all show there, girl.
Now, what I really also wanted to do in a Daily Winnie is to give a Daily Winnie to Bob Baffert and Victor Espinosa. Did you see what they did? Bob Baffert is donating, after the Triple Crown victory, $50,000 to the Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance, $50,000 for the California Retirement Aftercare Account, $50,000 to the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Funds, and $50,000 to Old Friends in Kentucky.
Well, that's we're very glad he is, and they were very gracious. They were good winners, both of them. I have a little bit of the press conference. We'll play a little bit later.
Let me finish. Espinoza donated $80,000 to City of Hope, which is a children's cancer facility.
That's his charity of choice.
How could you not love all these guys?
Good job. Great. Well, you want to go to callers? Want to see what...
Do it.
All right, we'll try and get through as many as we can. We have a number of them lined up here. So let's talk to Uta, called in first from Ohio. Hi, Uta.
Good morning.
Happy day.
Yes, definitely happy day. Oh my gosh, I have such a hangover. I can't hardly stand it.
I don't even think you drink. It's just a horse hangover.
No, I don't. Well, it was kind of a weird coincidence, but we had to go towards Youngstown on Saturday early morning, and I saw the sign that said New York City, and I told my husband, screw the company picnic, let's go.
It would have been you and 90,000 of your friends, and they don't do anybody on the infield. Did you notice that? Everybody was packed in those stands, and it was packed.
Oh, my gosh, and that sound of the crowd was just deafening when he crossed that finish line.
Well, I think Jerry Crawford, our guest coming up today from Donegal Racing, was there, so he can tell us a little bit about what that was like.
Where were you, Uta? Where'd you watch it?
Well, my son had, in the morning, like I said, a National Guard picnic we had to go to, and I told him, as long as we're back by 4:30 so I can watch the race coverage, we're good. If not, you're dead. And we made it back, and I watched it from home in front of TV, and when he came around that final turn, I knew he had it. He was moving so easy and just so comfortably. I thought, there's no way anybody is going to catch him at that point. And I didn't see the entire stretch run because I was crying so hard.
Girl, I might have shed a few. I might have cried a little bit in the opener today. So. What's wrong with us, girls?
My husband, he just said, why are you crying? I'm like, oh, my God, don't you understand what this means?
Now, have they said anything? Are they going to be running him the rest of the year? Has anything been said? Do you guys know?
Yeah? They're going to run him. They're going to give him a nice long break. But apparently, Bob Baffert, that other gray-haired guy, Bob Baffert said that their goal, Breeders' Cup Classic. Come on!
Are you kidding me? I'm glad. Oh. I'm very glad of that because they could have very easily. We already sold the breeding rights to this horse. So,
well, the thing is, actually, Zayat went on to say that he's like, we owe it to the people. And Victor Espinosa on his Facebook page was like, hopefully we'll see you at a track near you. So they plan on getting around and doing stuff. So I'm excited.
Good. Very good.
They will not be at Turf Paradise in Phoenix, I'll tell you that.
No, they won't be down here at Tampa either. Thank you, Uta. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Next up, we have Celeste on here. Hi, Celeste.
Hi, how are y'all?
Are you happy? Oh. Are you excited, too?
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? I still haven't come down from this high. Like, I can't even believe it happened still. I was so mother-flipping excited. I was just, like, sitting on my couch with my head in my hands, like, oh, my God. Yeah, I make fun of my brothers all the time for screaming at the TV during my football games and, you know, things like that. Like, what are you thinking? What are you doing? And I'm like, don't let him go. Like, screaming at the TV, like, don't make him move yet. Wait till you get into the stretch. Oh, my God, he didn't care. Like, screaming at the top of my lungs. Of course, Ben and my brother and some of our best friends are my vet and my farrier are married, and they were all at our house. And I'm just sitting there, like, screaming in our living room. And they're all like, oh, my God, look at his stride. Like, he's just going. Like, he's just floating across the ground. And even Ben, who's not a horse person, he was like, the rest of them all look like they're going, like, ding, 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 with their feet. And, like, he's just, like, gliding along. I was like, yeah, that's a good way to put it. But, I mean, you could tell he was holding him back so hard that whole time. He rode him perfect. Like, I mean, as hard as his head was bobbing, he wanted to go, and he just would not let him go, and he did it.
Just right. I mean, I'm so amazed.
It was just perfect. Oh my God. It's like we're just the same person. I'm still so excited too. And I would like to read Celeste's post that happened 30 seconds on Facebook, 30 seconds after, but I can't because there's too many F-bombs.
Well, you and Victor out there swearing. Hey, I'm not the only one that says the S-word on the air now. Victor sort of helped me out there at the end. When he said it, I was like, well, they're going to turn his mic off. And then they kept it on and he said it again. I was like, I can't believe they kept his mic on.
Well, it's honest. Oh, my God.
All I can say, though, is suck at Perry Martin. Because after last year, and he's like, we're never going to see another Steve Cowherner because blah, blah, blah. And
yeah.
The Steve Cowherner. I wanted to be like, suck it. Because that's a well-bred horse that's been well-managed, and that's just all there is to it. Like, I'm sorry that California Firm didn't make it last year, and maybe his foot getting stepped on had something to do with it, but you don't be a sore loser about something that
you
hard.
You tell him, Celeste.
You have no right to tell anybody they can't enter their, you know, grade one horse at the Belmont just because their horse couldn't run in one of the other races. Like, there is no such thing as the Triple Crown. It's made up. Like, if your horse is qualified, you can run, and that's what makes it so damn hard to do, you know?
Celeste, I have to ask you the important.
Everybody else.
I have to ask you the important question. Did anybody else find the Burger King Creepy King creepy?
Oh,
that was just
was so
out
weird.
Of place and creepy.
I don't know what. Yeah, I don't know what the hell that was. The poor girl in front of him looked so damn embarrassed. I can't even stand it for it.
Well, the stories are, Jennifer looked it up and found stories that said Burger King paid Baffert for the right to stand there and be in his box.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
And I did, back to the Steve Cowherner thing, did you hear one of the analysts before the race started? Everybody was picking American Pharoah, and he goes, I think somebody should go check on Steve Cowherner, make sure he's still alive.
No, I didn't even hear that part. That's
so
hilarious.
Great. This is so great. So,
thank you, Celeste. Yeah. We appreciate you calling, and I'm glad you're so excited.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. All right. Take care, guys.
Take care, Celeste.
Bye.
Well, there, Celeste, I think. I don't know how you come back after that right there.
I mean, that was awesome.
Her house was wild. I'll tell you how you come back. You go to New York to our favorite New Yorker, Dr. Ellen. Good morning. How excited
are
you in New York?
Good morning. Good morning. I am off today, so I'm not in Manhattan. I'm up in horse country, up in upstate New York.
Oh, you're not too far from Belmont.
Where we have a local racehorse farm and my boarding barn, et cetera. And I wanted to start off by thanking you guys for putting us as listeners on Horses in the Morning, because this is so much fun for us. I am old enough to remember the previous Triple Crown winners, but Saturday was particularly exciting with American Pharoah. And I can only say, like Uda, I was crying, and I thought Victor Espinosa sent him out too early. And I walked away from the TV because I didn't know he was going to lose. And I'm screaming at the TV as I come back, and my husband's laughing at me the whole time. And finally, when American Pharoah won, I just exploded. And I had been married a very long time, and my husband is a very good horse husband, but he just stood there and kept laughing at me because he couldn't believe how excited I was. And I can only say, I know in Manhattan, people are thrilled. I thought about going to Belmont this year to sit and watch this. But you know what? The crowds were tremendous. But that was a good thing, a really good thing for New York, et cetera. And I was struck by a couple of things. One is, when I went to my Facebook page to put in my predictions like you guys did, and I was picking American Pharoah first, I kept looking up how to spell Pharoah, because I'm a good speller.
I know, we too. I have that problem every time I write it.
Oh, my goodness. And then I look it up.
You don't?
I misspell it every
and
time.
Then
I write it, Ellen, the way that it's supposed to be written, because I actually thought that's the word that was supposed to be spelled. I never caught that word. I don't know why that word doesn't log in my brain as misspelled, but it doesn't.
Well, you know the story behind it, right? Zayed's son, who just graduated from NYU, by the way, he misspelled it. And when they put it online and everybody voted on it, that was the way it was spelled. At least that's what I heard on TV.
Actually, the way I heard it was
so funny.
The way I heard it was he put out a call to get suggestions, and one of his followers, one of the fans, actually submitted it that way. He never double checked it and just approved it and sent it in that way. But it was a fan. Can you imagine being the fan that recommended that name? It's like, I named American Pharoah. That's
oh my goodness. And the other thing I was struck by was how humble Bob Baffert seemed to be. And as he was walking after they won, and he was walking, there was Penny, 93-year-old Penny Chenery. And maybe someone said to Bob, turn around and greet her or whatever. But he turned around and greeted her. And that just warmed my heart. I just thought that was so nice, really.
I totally agree. I thought that was, too. I noticed that, and they kept showing her before, and God, she looks good for, what, is she in her 90s? She looks 90, really good.
93. I heard 93.
Yeah, she looks really
93.
Good. 93. Yep, she does. There's no
anyway,
question.
Move on to the next callers, but thank you so much for letting us call in and speak, because this is just fun.
Well,
one last thing.
Yeah.
I went to a 4-H show yesterday, which is all a lot of young riders. They were so excited, too. So it's really nice to see this with the young people in the horse industry being so excited.
Well, I'm going to play just the beginning of our opener for you, because
it's up to you.
Oh, I missed it before.
Just for you, Ellen.
Oh, awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome. Take care.
Love you, Ellen. Bye, girl.
We have Ruby from Arizona.
Hey, Ruby.
Hi.
Oh, my gosh. How excited are you?
I'm so excited. I am really excited. I mean, you know, I kind of prepared myself to be disappointed. And then when it happened, I still can't believe it. I mean,
you know,
I have to keep pinching myself every time I see something on Facebook.
Ruby, you know, I looked, you know, that Facebook look back that they have where they'll show you what you were doing a year before, 2 years before, whatever.
Yeah.
So I was looking on yesterday, actually, was, I guess, the 1 year anniversary of California Chrome, and every post I made was, I'm so nervous, I can't eat, I hope he does it. And this time I wasn't nervous. It's like I knew he was
really?
Gonna do it. Like, there was nobody else who could beat that horse. Now when the race started, I was nervous as can be, but there was just not that, like, were you nervous for him? Did you think he was gonna
I was kind of nervous, but I still, you know, yeah, I still kind of felt, you know, it's time, but I still prepared myself to be disappointed. So I don't think I got as nervous and excited as I normally would have, because I still had that preparement for disappointment. But then it all just, like, exploded on me when it actually
Did you cry?
Oh, I did shed a couple tears.
Girls,
it was just so beautiful the way he came into that last turn. It was so amazing to see them all just kind of separate. Oh, and then just slide into the finish. Just perfectly. Oh, it was so beautiful.
Well, and here, Ruby, I thought you were calling to congratulate me for picking the top three in order.
Yeah.
I'm getting no love today. I'm getting no love. It's all for that American Pharoah horse.
How much did you win in that bet there, Glenn?
Well, that's a problem because I didn't actually put any money down.
See, why I'm not congratulating you.
Now, if I had, it looked like it would have paid $100 for a $2 bet if I had bet him in order,
wow,
which I got. And you know, the only reason I put Keen Ice in there is because of our guest on Friday, and he's coming up. He's actually coming back to join us. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, he's going to be on here in a couple minutes. Jerry Crawford's coming back from Donegal Racing, and he's kind enough to do that. And it was only because of him that I put him in third place, and he did have a run there at the end. So,
yeah.
So I was happy about that. But thank you, Ruby. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for letting
me
come on.
All right, bye, Ruby.
I'm going to go back to being excited. Bye.
Bye. And now we're going to talk to Jen's mom is on here, Pat. Good morning, Pat.
Oh, boy, that really blew my ear out. Yes, we watched the race. We remembered this time.
Well,
we
good.
We stayed home. And actually, we have the other two races on the DVR, so we can watch them.
You only watched this one? Absolutely. This was the only one?
Yeah. Yeah. And now, we sat here glued to the TV as they went on.
Now, not to give away anything, but you were old enough to remember the others in 1970s. Did you watch them then?
We didn't have TV that would have them on TV like that. You would have the last 2 seconds of the race or something
in the
like
news.
That.
But, yeah, carried in the news.
Yeah, that would be about it. Hey, I remember War Admiral. I had a great big cardboard thing that was his head sticking out of his stall.
Well, now, doesn't that put you at about 112?
Yes, I have a birthday coming up next month.
All right, I'll remember that. I'll remember that. I'm glad you guys watched. It was very exciting. And happy anniversary, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And give us a call so we can arrange for next year's visit.
Okay, sounds good.
So we don't interrupt everything else.
All right, we'll see you.
Love you guys.
Bye. One more caller we're going to try and get on here before we talk to our next guest, and that's Dawn. Good morning, Dawn.
Hi!
How excited are you? Of course, Dawn Deems joins us. You joined us a couple of weeks ago before the Kentucky Derby.
Yes. Right. Oh, I'm still on cloud nine. I'm like, do I have to go to work today? And I just want to watch the program. So,
now, did you put any money on it? Do you have a ticket?
No. Oh, I wish I would have done that. And I actually had the trifecta, but I had it boxed. But no, I didn't bet either. So, yeah, I can't.
Yeah.
No, but I still can't believe it that we have a Triple Crown winner.
Now, so, what do you think?
Yeah,
do you think it's gotten the press that you thought it would get in the mainstream press? And have your non-horsey friends said anything? That's a question for both you and
Jamie. I do have a lot of, friends that either they're non-horsey or they're horsey, but they don't watch much racing. And yeah, they actually watched it and posted on their Facebook, you know, and they're all excited. And as far as the media, I know I haven't watched it. I know they were on the Today Show yesterday, and I think they were on again today.
Today.
So, yeah.
And American Pharoah is on it too. We need to watch.
What did he say?
Oh.
Did you notice this was so cool. When he got back to Kentucky, he had a police escort, of course, from the airport to Churchill Downs. And by the way, if you've ever been to Churchill Downs, most everybody needs a police escort through that section of town.
Seriously.
But I could see why he had that. But when he got back there, they had a press conference, and this was so cool. Bob Baffert let all the press pet American Pharoah. Yeah. What other racehorse that's any kind of champion could you let that? Secretariat would have bit their heads off.
I was going to mention that he let, you know, he said, does anyone want to pet him? And they all ran up to him, and there's like a video of I don't know how many, you know, media members are surrounding Pharoah, and he's just got his head down like a little pony letting everyone pet him. And I heard Bob say, you know, he's like, this isn't normal. Like a 3-year-old colt, you can't do this to most of them. You know, they'll bite and kick, and he just wants everyone to just see how just sweet he is. And I hope I get to meet him someday. I really do.
We'll stalk him, Dawn. This is a new stalker, new horse on our list.
We're good
to stalk.
At that. We're good at that. Yeah,
we are. So listen, before we let you go, I wanted to paint a picture while you're on the phone here. My husband is like, I'm using air quotes, the horse guy in the fighter squadrons that he's in. He is, I mean, he's not a horse guy, but he's their go-to horse expert. So all the fighter pilots have been asking him, who's going to win? So he actually watched the race from, mind you, with like 15 other fighter pilots, half of them Singaporean, who had never even seen a, you know, American horse race. So he's in a bar in Hooters.
Oh, no.
There's a bunch of fighter pilots watching the race. He said that even all the non-horse guys were just blown away. And really, it's because I know who's on hold right now. They were all blown away by Keen Ice. It was just so impressive. The run that he had and almost getting. Do you want to bring him on?
Yeah, let's do that. Hey, Dawn, thank you so much. And thank you for helping us out with our coverage this year. We really appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for getting me on. Bye, guys.
Take care, Dawn.
That Keen Ice, man. Whew. Just unbelievable.
Hey, Jerry. Oh. Thank
Jerry's
you.
Jerry's on the
Jerry
phone.
Jerry Crawford, hey. Donegal Racing.
I detected just a slight bit of irony in that.
Hey, I got to tell you, I was so excited when I saw Keen Ice was making a run for it there at the end. And he did, what, seventh in the Kentucky Derby and third here.
Yeah, he ran a very good race. You know, I have to say, and I'm glad to be able to say this, even though he had a horrible trip in the Belmont Saturday, he was not going to beat American Pharoah with a perfect trip. And so that's a good feeling to know both that your horse ran very well, trip notwithstanding, and you aren't going to win anyway. So to be part of history, I saw one of the Sports Illustrated photos that they had taken. I'm sure they've got 100 or 1,000 just like it that they were thinking about for the cover, which features Keen Ice prominently. So, you know, yeah, exactly. It was fun to be part of such a historic event.
Well,
and what can you say about American Pharoah?
Let me reset here quick. For those that did listen to Friday's show, we have Jerry Crawford of Donegal Racing, the owners of Keen Ice, who came in third in the Belmont. We had him on Friday, and you're so kind to come back. Thank you very much for that. I assume you were there. Were you there in the stands?
I was, and I will tell you that I will never forget as long as I live. You know, when you have a horse in a race like this, you are watching your horse. You know, you're not watching the leader, although it was easy sort of out of the corner of my eye to see where Pharoah was. But I didn't have to be able to see him, because once the horses turned for home and Pharoah opened up by another length, the roar was like a sonic boom in that place. And it just continued and rolled on and on all the way through the stretch run. I've been at a lot of horse races. I've been blessed to be at a lot of big ones, but I've never heard anything like that.
Wow.
We That's couldn't appreciate awesome. That on TV. You really can't appreciate how loud it must have been there.
Yeah, but it was so out, too. It just kept going and going and going. The place was
exactly.
just erupting. I was screaming at home that long. So, I mean, I can't imagine what it would have been like to be there.
I know you were saying, go Ice, go Ice.
I was.
Now, what do you think? I wanted go ahead, Jerry. Sorry.
I was just going to say, that's an important point, because I believed, and I think we talked about this a little on Friday, I believed that Keen Ice and the other seven horses, I mean, in the race, except for Pharoah, we owed it to history. We owed it to prior Triple Crown winners. We even owed it to American Pharoah to run the best races we were capable of, so that his Triple Crown, should he achieve it, and he did, would be seen as a very, very honest one. And I think we accomplished that. This was a hell of a year for 3-year-olds.
And the one thing I was really happy to see about the race on Saturday was that Pharoah came out. There was no bumping around at the beginning, no implications that something went wrong. He led the whole way. You know, there was no question about it. There were no questions about his winning the race. You know, it was a fairly clean race for him. So, you know, there was just no questions about it. What do you think this does for racing? How good was this for racing in general? You know, everybody listen to this show are horse people. We're all fans, okay? But, you know, the average person out there, how good was this for racing in general? Will this help racing?
You know, there's no doubt that it helps in the near term. I don't think it's the answer for generations to come. You know, the simple truth is that there are millions and millions of people in the United States who watch one football game a year, and it's the Super Bowl.
Me.
There you go. And actually, you know, disproportionate number are women. So, you know, there was a huge audience for this. The horse was magnificent. It will be planted in people's minds. Maybe they go to the races a time or two as a result of this. But I think we have more systemic problems in the country, starting with casinos, for one. The thought was that racinos were going to be the answer. But, you know, if you give people, the masses, a choice between a slot machine and a horse race, one where they don't have to think or be called stupid, and one where they do, well, then, that's one of the big problems in our industry. I think we have too much racing. Racing, to be successful, needs to be special. And we see this every year because Del Mar, Keeneland, Saratoga, very successful meets because they're special.
Because they're special. They don't run every day.
It's the scarcity. You know, well, they run for such a limited number of weeks.
Right.
And it's something, I mean, I've been thinking about how I can't wait to get up to Saratoga already. And like you say, we're all horse people, but trust me, there are a lot of people who go to the races at those three places I just mentioned who aren't.
Right.
It's a big social occasion. So sorry to be so long-winded about it, but I think a lot about racing and what we can do to improve it, and those are a few of my thoughts.
Well, wow. I have a question for you on the technical side of things, because I was wondering about this, and I think you'd probably be able to answer it. So the Zayats sold even before the race the breeding rights for this horse. Does that mean they still own the horse? They're just not in charge of the breeding at all, and they get that payment up front and then nothing after? How does that work?
So here's, first of all, I have not seen the contract, okay, but I've done enough of these contracts to have a pretty good guess. They got a very large sum of money when they sold the breeding rights before the Belmont. Now, what that did for the Zayats was it protected them against a loss in the Belmont. They also had in that contract, I know, a kicker, meaning another payment would be made by Coolmore to the Zayat operation if he went on and won the Belmont, which of course he did in the Triple Crown. So they've now received two very large payments. The only unknown in my mind, and by the way, I would guess that those two payments collectively add up to $20-25 million.
Jeez.
Then in addition to that,
the monster
they may
drink.
Have kept a... Well, please.
I don't want to get you started
irritated.
On that.
A touch irritated about that. God bless him for doing the sponsorship. I'm all for that. But here's what happened. So we had Finnegan's Wake running in the Manhattan in the race immediately before the Belmont
Stakes.
Right. And Finnegan's Wake coming off five graded stakes races in a row where he'd won four and finished second once. Our jockey happened to be Victor Espinoza. He shows up with a monster emblem on the saddle. I'm like, hey, wait a minute. We don't have any monster cash.
Yeah, nobody gave us any
money. Why is my horse wearing the monster logo, right? The last thing I wanted to say about the Farrow contract with Coolmore, what you don't know is, did Zayat keep a piece of the horse? How many shares in the horse? How many breeding rights did he keep on a go-forward basis? I'm not sure, but sure we'll learn that in the weeks to come.
And I think the part that everybody's missing is that Zayat also owns Pioneer of the Nile, who is the daddy of American Pharoah. So now Pioneer of the Nile goes from his $15,000 or $20,000 fee to about $100,000 because everybody wants to breed to the daddy of the winner. So now he's going to make a fortune on that. So
he's going to get a kick. By the way, let's be fair to Ahmed Zayat. He spent a fortune already on horse racing.
Yeah.
I would be surprised if this even gets him even.
Well, didn't I read that they were bankrupt to like 5 years ago in 2010? They filed bankruptcy, Zayat Stables.
That's right. They had a lot of conflict with financial institutions in Kentucky. And I don't know. I only know them personally. I don't know their business affairs. They could not be more delightful on a personal level. But I did read that he had 252 yearlings 1 year. He spent $60-something million on them.
Oh,
so when you start comparing his annual outlay with this shot in the arm financially, now, on the other hand, I would not have the same level of personal wealth. That's a sort of an understatement. you know, if somebody said to me, what are you willing to spend to win the Triple Crown? I'd be looking for every nickel.
I'll
chip in, dude. You got some money.
Yeah.
I'll write that $10 check finally.
The blue collar game. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Jerry, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. I know that this has to be a busy day for all of you, and it is really cool that you can say you had a horse in that race that came in third. I think that's really cool. And I changed my order of events to AP Frosted and Keenice after having you on, and I came out that was a pretty good combination. So
it was a good
if only I had bet on it.
Jerry,
I hear you.
I put Keen Ice in second.
Listen,
so don't let him tell you anything. He put Keen Ice in third. I had you in second.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. So you be the one to call me from now on. I just want to say before I go.
Yes.
Before I go, we talked about what this does for horse racing. The thing that does the most of all for horse racing are people like yourselves who are knowledgeable, who make it very fun and entertaining, and you're enthusiastic about it. So a very sincere thank you to both of you, to what you do, and keep it up.
Well, thank you, Jerry. We really appreciate that. We have fun doing this. It's our life. So
good.
Thank you, Jerry.
Man. Oh, Jerry, you're the best.
Hey, where do I send my $10 check to be part of Donegal Racing, by the way?
Just find me at the racetrack.
All right, good. All right, thanks, Jerry.
All right, thanks so much.
All right,
we'll see ya. What a cool guy.
Well, that was very nice.
Class.
He didn't have to join us today. He's probably had a few other things to do.
What is his home track? I didn't get to ask him. I tried to ask 10 questions, but you're like,
might know. Is Donegal Racing out of Kentucky? Are they out of Lexington? I don't know that question. Maybe Jennifer can take a look at that for us. But that was very nice. Very, very nice.
Yeah, he's cool. He's really, really cool. He's just so funny. And you guys kept talking about what it does for racing. Did you know that American Pharoah was the front page story in the newspapers in all 50 states?
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Yay.
That's so cool. I mean, that's a horse. It makes me so happy when the rest of the non-horse world gets into the horses. And to think about all these fighter pilot dudes have no idea what's going on, watch this race. And every single one of them said it was just such a monumental experience to be there. And they
They got to celebrate with Hooters girls. Why wouldn't it be monumental?
Chad actually said to me, I said, was she hot? Like, was your Hooters waitress hot? And he said that, you know, being in Panama City Beach, you would have thought that they would have brought their A game. But apparently on a Saturday evening, not so much. I think he's probably just saying that, though.
Yeah, I think he's probably just.
Babe, nobody's as good looking as you.
We all learned that line in pre-marriage school. Let's get caught up. We have some ads to do. I have a song for you. I thought, what the heck? Let's play The Will to Win by Team Fredericks today. Woo! That's the one that we needed to play today. I have a couple sound cuts for you, and we're going to break in a rookie after in a little bit here, too. So hang on. We got a lot more to come. Mega Alpha Pharmaceuticals creates only natural health products. Their scientists, guided by Dr. Gordon Chang, formulate a wide variety of mainly herbal health products to address many equine health problems. And I have on the line here Kyle Carter, who is an international eventer and well-known throughout the eventing world, who uses Omega Alpha products. Kyle, I understand that you started using Omega Alpha about a year ago.
Yeah, I've been using it for about a year and have noticed a remarkable difference in the horses that have been on it. And then if they come off of it, the horse's health always has been better on it. It's one of the few supplement companies that I wholeheartedly believe in.
Well, thank you, Kyle. You know, Omega Alpha brings consumers the perfect marriage of nature and science. Look for all of their products at retailers nationwide or visit their website at omegaalpha.ca. That's omegaalpha.ca.
Well, hi, everybody. Coach Jen here from Horse Radio Network, and I'm with Debbie from EquestrianCollections.com. And once again, she's got our product of the week from EquestrianCollection.com. What have you got for us, Debbie?
Well, hi, Jen. First, I want to shout out to some of our fans out there who mention on their emails to Equestrian Collections that they watch, they listen to the radio show and that they enjoy it. So keep those comments coming, and any suggestions, let me know. This week, I want to feature the Noble Outfitters Wound Care Large Animal Spray. This stuff works. It is so good. And we have it in 8-ounce and 5-ounce sizes. It's very safe. I mean, when we first had a rep come by, she puts it on her apples because she's allergic to stuff that they put on the apples in the store. It's food grade. It's safe for eyes, ears, nose, and mouth. And it doesn't, like in the winter, some of the similar items can't deal with the cold weather. This is fine in cold weather. And I'm telling you, it works. You know, I do a lot of trail riding, and my horse gets ticks, and I take them off every time. But sometimes they leave a little bite mark, and I have used this thing. And I'm telling you, overnight, one day he put a little boo-boo on his head at the hay bunk, at the round bale bunk, put this stuff on. By the next day, it was almost healed. I'm telling you, this stuff is great. I certainly recommend trying the Noble Outfitters Wound Care Large Animal Spray. Keep it around your farm. Use it on those little cuts and abrasions that come up, you know, when they hit themselves boo-boo and stuff like that. Excellent stuff. Give it a try.
There you go. Recommended from Debbie, who has lots of horses who are just as good at getting boo-boos as yours are. The Noble Outfitters Wound Care small and large animal. They have it in the foam and the spray at equestriancollections.com.
When you know that you've got what it takes, what a difference the feeling makes. And when everyone's dreaming the dream, is finally here, and you're fired and the energy's clear. When you stand on the strength of the team, then you've got the will to win. And you're keeping your eyes on the prize, and you're feeling the energy rise, and you know you can never give in. Then you've got the will to win. You've got the will to shout and they rise to their feet, and you stand on the edge of your dream. Then you've got the will to win, and you're keeping your eyes on the prize, and you're feeling the energy rise. When you know you can never give in, then you've got the will to win. You've got the will to win. You've got the will to win. You've got the
Fredericks, baby. Clayton Fredericks, the will to win. Clayton Fredericks and Team Fredericks there. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine and American Faro, because I'm sure they're going to donate some money to us too, Glenn. Now, I just read an article about the king. Okay.
Oh, okay. What was the story?
You ready for this?
About the creepy king?
Yeah, the creepy king, the Burger King king. Last month, the fast food chain, because I didn't really watch it, reportedly paid $1 million for the mascot to be a part of Floyd Mayweather's entourage during the walkout prior to that fight. And then apparently at the Preakness, Bob Baffert earned a cool $150,000 to hang with the king before the Preakness, but the apparent appearance never made it on TV because of all the rain. So this time they gave him $136,000 to have him standing there.
He can, you know what? I think the king is creepy, but for $136,000, he can stand beside me anywhere.
Oh, wait. No.
No.
I'm sorry. No word on how much it had to be around that, but apparently an analytic group, a marketing group, said it earned the fast food chain $136,000 in exposure. Now, I'm sorry, but the math doesn't add up.
Well, I don't know how much the commercials were going for per minute. I couldn't find that. I was looking for that. I wanted to see if, you know, I wonder if the commercials go for more when there's, you know, I'm sure at the Belmont, the commercials go for more in a year like this, right? Yeah, than a I'm year sure. when we have no potential Triple Crown winner.
Yeah.
But I don't know how big they are. I don't know, you know, is it, you know, a quarter of Super Bowl money? Is it 500,000 a shot or a million a shot? I don't know what the commercial, I couldn't find any articles on that.
I'll tell you what, I guess I'm not what they gear marketing towards, because seeing the king there definitely did not make me want to go to Burger
King. It was creepy. And I like hamburgers. It was creepy. The king is creepy. He's just creepy.
I love the picture, though, of like Bob Baffert standing there, arms crossed, his wife off looking to the side, looking irritated. Yes. And there's the king.
There's the king. With his thumbs up. Did you notice he wasn't in the next shot? I wonder if NBC drug him out of there after that. I don't know.
That's it. That's all you get for your $150,000.
And I wondered, I don't know if NBC got any of that. So they're probably going, oh, God. Hey, do you want to hear a little bit of the press conference after? Or are you triple crowned out yet?
Oh, come on. I'm not triple crowned out for the rest of my life. Go.
All right, this is a little bit of the press conference immediately after the race. This is the one.
When we put this day together back in February, we thought it'd be great racing, great entertainment, great hospitality. We had no idea it would be one of the most fantastic days in racing history. And I want to thank Mr. Zayat and Bob Baffert and Victor for making it unbelievable. Congratulations to all of you.
Thank you, guys.
I'm happy for the horse, for the fans, and for this man who have done it. You all know, in order to get a horse off an injury to come and compete and do what he does, not everything have to go perfect, but you have to be literally a magician. You have to be an incredible, incredible, incredible trainer.
I was listening to every news station and people were saying, well, you know, it never happens and everybody gets up for it. But there's something about this horse that he just brought it every time. And it's just an enjoyment to be around. And I wasn't really as nervous as I usually are before these, because I really felt I had the horse. And I felt confident when I saddled him. I could tell he was, and I told Victor in the paddock, dude, he is ready. Go ahead, ride him with confidence. And he did. And that's the only way you can win these. You have, you know, he rode him with extreme confidence, put him on the lead, go for it. If he doesn't make it, don't worry about it. We tried, we had fun, but he just kept on rocking and rolling.
It was just so nice to be in a horse like American Faro. I'm telling you, in the first turn, I was just like, that's the best feeling I ever have.
But what was the best part of the whole three races, you think?
Winning them.
Winning them?
That was his son, Brody. All right, so here's a little bit of Victor and what he had to say after.
Right there. Open it up one or two lengths. You know, no matter what the fraction they go, I'm going to just let it run out of there, open it up two, three lengths, and then come back and they can catch me. If they got me, they got me. If not, then I'll be a winner. And look where I am. I'm a winner.
You've been here before. When did you know? When did you know you had it?
In the first turn, when I was two lengths in front, I know there I got it. It's all I've accepted. Like, you know, if you can get a mile and a half, that was it. That was all over. But, you know, I started getting excited in there.
when you actually crossed the line as the first Triple Crown winner in 37 years, what went through you, Victor?
Finally, I did it. It was like for the third time. You know, I've been here twice and I feel like a loser. Now I feel like a winner.
It's only a mile and a half, but for you, Victor, one of 12 children from Hidalgo, Mexico, yep, growing up on a dairy farm, how do you describe the journey, Victor?
Well, you know what? It's like a clock. You know, it's 12 and 12 children, and look, I am.
What does this mean to the sport of racing?
A lot, and also for everybody and all the fans that come here, just to hope to get a Triple Crown winner. Oh, they bet $2 to get a kid to keep the tickets. They're just an amazing people, you know. They're giving so much energy, and for all, they're rooting for American Pharoah and myself. That's all for them.
I wonder how much the track makes. He makes a good point. I wonder how much the track makes and all those $2 bets that are never cashed in.
Oh, you know what? I still have my big brown derby ticket.
Do you?
So, yeah, it would have paid me $2.40 after my $2.
Ticket, but for the track, that means they have an extra $2.40 on every one of those people that did that.
That's true.
Yeah, that
very
adds
true.
Up. That adds up. That's good for the track, too. Yeah, that was good for New York, good for racing in general. Well, you know, I wanted to thank, too, the listeners for calling in. I'm so glad we did that. Obviously, they were very excited about it and had a chance to talk to somebody about it, and we appreciate you doing that earlier in the show. We're going to switch gears here a little bit in just a minute. We have somebody filling in for Leslie for the Wacky World of Horses, Kristen Kovach, who's the managing editor. She'll be here in a minute. But I saw over the weekend, I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about this or not, but I saw over the weekend that your horse, Joey, who people who have listened to this show from day one will know who that is. Your horse Joey found a new home, and it's so exciting on a birthday and everything. Tell us about it.
So yeah, this is so cool. I can definitely talk about it. It's so exciting. I got to be a part of making a little girl's dreams come true. It was so neat. So one of my students, her name is Abby, and she has been riding with me for 4 years, and she's been leasing Joey for the last two. She loves him. He loves her. He comes to her in the pasture. You know, I go to put the fly mask on and he's like, eh. He drops his head for her. Like, it's just one of those, you know, every horse deserves
to be owned. Was Joey one of the retired thoroughbreds?
Joey is the one that I got for, bless his little heart, $50 from MASH from the sheriff's department because he was starved as a 2-year-old.
That's right.
And then he spent a year being starved. Yep, thoroughbred, a chestnut thoroughbred with a star. And he spent another year in the prison, you know, rehabbing. So he basically spent his 2- and 3-year-old year stuck in a stall. And you would think that would make a horse crazy. He had never been started when I got him. I was riding him after like 3 days of training, and only because he kept begging me to. It was so neat. He was one of the easiest horses ever, and he has just remained easy. And he's just I'm teaching lessons on a 5-year-old thoroughbred that's been under saddle for like, you know, 6 months. And it just like that does not sound good. But if you see the horse, you're like, oh, he's like the calmest, quietest, slowest thoroughbred. He's a grandson of Aladar and a grandson of Seattle Slough. You think he should be amazing, but I think his little brain and his little body were stunted anyway. So he's really gentle, really sweet. But her parents, she wanted Joey. And you know, I mean, you know, honestly, she's done most of the work with him and loved him and taking care of him. And she has learned so much with him. I, you know, being that she leases him, she's out here all the time. And we wanted to make it special. So they decided to buy Joey for her 13th birthday because she put in the time, you know, she did it exactly the way somebody should do. Start with lessons, then lease. It was just the perfect kind of like funnel effect of having a horse for a girl. And so she came over to watch the Belmont. That was kind of the plan. And she came in the house and I'm like, oh, you got to watch this. You got to watch this. Meanwhile, her parents drove out, but they drove to the back of the property and I left the back gate open for them. And not only was her parents here, her best friend, their family, and like another family and her grandparents. So there was like 20 people out back. I didn't know all that. I was supposed to kind of keep her busy for about 10 minutes.
And were you watching the race together too?
It was a pre-covered. So she got there. I made her get there like at 1 o'clock and the race was at 3:30 for us. So I'm like, oh, you got to watch this race. And I think I showed her some like classic Wise Dan races, you know, like she's like, okay, great. It's cool. And so her mom texted me that they were ready. And so we went out back and Joey was in the cross ties with a big bow on him and everything. And she was speechless. I videoed it, but it's not a good video because she was just like, oh, she didn't scream or cry. She just was stood there like, oh.
That's so cool, though.
And there was all these people out back. It was really neat.
That's so special. Well, I hear that you have your hands full there, so I'll just lead us into the next guest here. And we have, for the first time, we have a rookie on the show today. And, of course, this is The Wacky World of Horses with Horse Nation.
Horses, the ultimate frontier. These are the adventures of Horse Nation. Its weekly mission to explore strange equestrian behaviors and to exploit horse humor in the wacky world of horses.
Well, Leslie is usually with us on Mondays, but today we have a newbie because Leslie's traveling all around the world, and that left managing editor Kristen Kovach at home. So, hi, Kristen.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. It's so good to have you on. We appreciate you stopping by and filling in for Leslie today.
Thanks very much for having me. You're going to break me in. So.
Yeah, that's it. That's right. We were hoping you weren't listening earlier, but I guess you were. Well, Kristen, it's so good to have you on. We really appreciate you stopping by. Now, tell us a little bit about yourself. We haven't had you on before. What's a scoop?
Nope. Well, let's see. I started recently for Horse Nation as managing editor. We also call that assistant to the regional manager. And I compare that to, if you've ever seen the Perch on Thunder guy, Jason Goodman, who Roman rides.
Yes, I've seen him.
Four more in front of him. Yeah, that's kind of what it feels like when Leslie goes out of town. So, so I'm just kind of holding on to the lines and hoping for the best. But it's a lot of fun. So,
now, were you always a writer? And have you always been a horse girl?
Yes, I've definitely always been a horse girl. And I guess I kind of developed my love for writing through school. And then I actually, right after college, worked as a trainer for the university that I went to. So I was their Western trainer and coach for 4 years, and then just found out the hard way that wasn't really going to be for me. So switched over to freelancing, and then one thing led to another. So now I'm here with Horse Nation almost full time. So
you're a Western rider. What type? What did you ever compete?
Yes, I did range cow horse. That was probably my favorite. I did a little bit of team penning and team sorting too along the way. And I did a lot of learning to ride the reiners. I never competed in reining outside of the intercollegiate. But reining is a lot of fun too. So I competed in horsemanship and reining as an undergrad, and then reined cow horse as a post grad. And now I'm just recreational trail riding again. So horses are back to being a hobby, which for now is really where I want it to be. So, now it's just trail riding and moving cows around the property.
Well, you're busy. Busy keeping Horse Nation, one of the most popular horse blogs in the world right now, on course. And I love your stuff, and we love you. We've talked about a million of your articles through the time, too. So it's so good to have you on and finally get to meet you. What are we talking about today? I love this Horsenista summer shopping must-haves. So what's on the list of must-haves for the horse girls?
I love Horsenista because basically I have no time and no extra money to go shopping. So I just let Horsenista do all the shopping for me. That's Amanda Ronan. That's her horse lifestyle alter ego with Horsenista. So she's put together all sorts of really fun stuff that someday, if I ever have the budget for, I'd love to own. So she goes through the internet and basically combs for the coolest looking horse stuff she can find. So what she featured this week is this really cool necklace that I like, especially for eventers. It's three different charms, and on the front side, you know, you have your cross-country, your dressage, and your show jumper, and then you flip them over, and it says XC for cross-country. There's a stirrup and a horseshoe, so very cool.
And then, of course, some fun stuff for the house. These sweet, I think, stainless steel flatware set. It's got stirrups and a stirrup leather on the handles. That's very cool if I ever, you know, do any fancy entertaining for all of my...
Yeah, I was just going to say, we're usually plastic forks that are left over from the Wendy's. That's...
Or a napkin wrapped around what you're eating is usually actually fine. But, you know, for the next time I'm hosting a fancy...
I was trying to find the price of like the flatware, because I thought the flatware was kind of cool, but there are no prices here, and I figured that's probably for a reason.
That's probably wise. Yeah, so we can just, you know, put everything on our wish list and not really know what it's going to be.
I did find a price for the flatware,
but of course I've never followed a link.
I found a price for the flatware. Here we go. Okay, so one dinner fork, one salad fork, one knife, one tablespoon, and one teaspoon. This is not a whole set. This is five pieces.
This is one.
$175.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll look at it, I think.
Yeah, see if you want to buy that for your next party. Everybody gets to share the fork. Please pass it around.
Yeah, you just pass it around. Yes, everybody admire, right. And then put it back on the table.
Here's your plastic one.
Yeah. You just glue a little fake horseshoe on the end. It's really,
Amanda has
really
good taste. Oh, there are some cool stuff on here, though. I like some of the fabric and stuff that she has. She found a little bit of everything, pillows and fabric and the mural.
I love the pillows.
I love the wall art going up the steps. She has this, it's like a, I don't know, it's like a mural that you put going up, and it's just a silhouette of a horse running up the steps. It's really cool. It's really cool. I like that one.
I wonder how much that works, you know, like the space that they show in this photo is amazing with these beautiful modern steps. And, you know, I'm renting an old farmhouse. I don't think it would look very good here on my wall, but I can pretend.
You can. And it's only $7.99 in pounds. It costs you $2,500 to have it shipped here, but it's only $7.99. So it's great. No, that's a good article. You can check that out on Horse Nation. How about, this is one that you, Jamie, talked about, I think, last week, expecting and eventing.
Yes, this is a new column by Lorraine Jackson. She's been writing for Horse Nation for, I think, ever, basically, since the site got started. And she is expecting. And I love this column. I am not expecting. I don't plan to be expecting anytime soon. But I just love to read this and just kind of see how she's going to balance everything out.
Did you hear Jamie's child in the background? Right. That's how you balance everything out.
Yeah.
You don't balance.
That's right.
You balance nothing. Nothing is balanced. What I liked about this
is... I have a hard enough time balancing as it is. So.
Yeah. Well, because I recently kind of had to go through this, there is a time where you go, like what the phase she's in is like, ride while you can, ride while you can. And because seriously, unless you have a child in daycare, a nanny, or I don't know how else you do it, or a husband that doesn't work, your riding time is few and far between and really hard to find. And I can't imagine not having the horses here at my house. I mean, being a boarder and then having to travel out to the barn and then go ride and then do all the stuff and then come home, that would be even harder. Right now I'm like, okay, you hold the baby, I'll be back in half an hour, you know, to whoever is here.
It's why we don't visit.
I'm sure it's the kid. I'm really enjoying reading these articles. So if you can pass on to her that there's a lot of us that have kind of been in this situation and or are in this situation, as a friend of mine is, it's much appreciated. It's more realistic, actually, her article about it than the people that were around me telling me things. I had a woman tell me, I rode up to the day that I delivered. I actually got off, went home, and then my water broke. So I rode up until the day I delivered. And then finally somebody at the barn goes, because I'm at this point 7 months and it's really uncomfortable, but I'm trying to push through and keep riding and stuff. Of course, the doctors are all like, don't ride. Tell a horse chick not to ride. You ride with a broken leg, you know? Right. So I'm pushing through, and finally somebody says, I'm like, I don't know how she did it. I don't know how she did it. It's so uncomfortable. And he goes, yeah, she walked around being led. She was not riding. I was like, oh, see, that's the crap they don't tell you. It's like, oh, I rode the day I was pregnant. My husband still thinks it's amazing that my water broke. And I'm like, but I have to go feed. So I went out and fed all the, brought them all in and fed them all. And then I'm like, okay, now we can go. So you do what you have to
do. Priorities.
Yeah, priorities. They got to eat. He's like, you're throwing hay and your water broke. Like, you are insane. I'm like, oh, hold on. I'll be right there. Okay, I'm good. Let's go. But no, I'm really enjoying these articles, and she does a great job. And
yeah, Lorraine is a lovely writer. So yeah, just from a writing perspective, to read her story,
well,
very
now,
nice. So.
I got to ask you guys, do you get bonuses on articles you write that go viral? Do you get a bonus then if it goes viral, like over 100,000 views? Like Lorraine's other article is now at about 150,000 views, and that's the bomb-proofest Grand Prix horse in the history of ever, which, by the way, I had seen this video, and it's about this Grand Prix horse is doing a freestyle, but this is a different freestyle. This is Donna Summer. Tell us about this.
This is crazy. I don't know how they got this horse this broke. I mean, not only, you know, they have a full audience and the audience is clapping to the music and everyone is just, it's like a raining crowd, but it's this Grand Prix dressage horse and it's just doing its thing. First there's people with umbrellas dancing around it. And then they have a guy with a chainsaw.
Yeah, exactly.
Chasing her with a chainsaw.
Right.
So
with the chainsaw.
Cool, they had a rain machine.
What horse gets chainsaw chased with a chainsaw and stays still? It's like, oh.
Right. Yeah. You know, and of course it's funny because I always like to read our readers' comments and everyone's like, did they take the chain off? And yes, somebody commented that they were doing this without a chain, so there was no danger of someone sawing their own face off or anything.
Yeah,
but regardless, they're chasing the horse around the thing.
I'm sure that they want to take this Grand Prix dressage horse and, oh, accidentally, maybe potentially. People are ridiculous. If you guys haven't seen this, we need to put it on. We'll put the link to Horse Nation on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page because I watched the entire thing. They're pulling tarps over this horse as it's doing tempi changes. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy.
It's crazy. When they bring the tarp up behind it and it looks like an ocean wave, I kind of lost
that was
it there.
Really
I was like,
cool.
No way.
That was really cool.
It is very cool. It's quite a feat of horsemanship. It's really neat to see, but it's crazy.
And it's not something, you know, I help with the dressage show. I produce the dressage show and listen to Reese and Philip, and they're talking about their horses. And I know Reese posted this one too on the dressage Facebook page because this is not normal. For Grand Prix dressage horses, a lot of them are really high strung. So this is
I can't get my horse to not spook at the judge at the end, much less do any. I mean, gosh, you can't have a chainsaw going 4 miles away. He'll be like, "What is that?"
Exactly.
So, but just chase him across while he's doing canter half passes.
My pony spooks at little 4-inch lizards. So I got no prayer. I got no prayer. Well,
I ride a quarter horse that, you know, quote, quarter horse, and it still, you know, spooks at snowbanks and spooks at, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Plastic bag, you know, the whole
he's
thing.
Supposed to be bomb-proof, the quarter horse. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
He's supposed to be bomb-proof. Yeah, there were a lot of good articles this week. You can check them out over at horsenation.com. These pictures are sometimes hard to look at and sometimes funny. The On Hitting the Dirt article that was put out on Thursday last week, the Thursday morning feed from Fleeceworks on Hitting the Dirt. You guys always come up with the best pictures. I mean, I swear that all of you must be just sitting around doing nothing but Googling. You know, you're on Google Images until you find cool stuff. And it must take you hours to find this stuff, but you always do. You always find it.
People send it to them, though. Hey, this is me about falling off over a cross-country downbank. And there you go.
Probably gotten a little easier, over time. Because you do have people helping you now. There's no comment from the peanut gallery.
The hard part, too, that I think a lot of people don't always know about doing stuff like that is, you know, I got a comment once of like, oh, this isn't a very good photo to use. And we have to use photos that are royalty free and, you know, managed so that you can reuse it for a commercial purpose. So it's actually sometimes it can be really hard to find the right photo, which is why we like the ones, you know, like Oh Crap Monday, where people send their pictures. So that's always very good. So But yeah, it can be hard to find good pictures to use. So that was a good stock edge. I don't think that's actually Sally falling over a cross-country fence. We'll hope it isn't.
Like
that was pretty ugly.
Hey, can you give us a quick report? I don't know if you've been following it all, on how Leslie's been making out up there in Canada at Bromont. I saw that Marilyn Little won the 3-star up there.
Yes. Yeah, that looks... I followed that very briefly between moments of the Belmont, just kind of reading what Leslie had written. It looks like she had a very good trip. And yeah, Marilyn Little won the whole thing. So
let's be honest.
Looks like she'll be bringing us, I'm sure, a full report again.
You can say whatever you want. You paid no attention to her while she was gone.
We had so much going on.
We had so much going on with the Belmont Stakes. Do you think that they put a pause on the cross-country course just to make sure that everybody got to watch? And they're like, okay, resume.
I guarantee you there was a big TV in a tent. I guarantee you that happened.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that had to be tough. They were kind of overshadowed this year.
Last year, I guess their feed didn't work very well to watch the Belmont. So I think, fingers crossed, I think it went better this year. I got a giant all caps message from her, so I think she was able to see it one way or another.
Canada.
Whether they stopped action to watch, I don't know. But yeah, she called that going north of the wall. So
hey, we talked to, remember when we talked to Victoria from Horse and Country TV last week, who's in England? We talked to her every week on Wednesdays. And we brought up the Triple Crown. I don't even think she knew what it was.
Yeah, I know.
She had like no idea. I did too. Apparently, it's just an American-Canadian thing. So she had no idea. I was shocked.
I was too. I told Chad about that, and he goes, "What? Everybody in the world wasn't watching that?" I'm like, "You would think." I mean, really, but it's not international pharaoh. It's American pharaoh.
That's right. It's not English. It's not British pharaoh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. We finally have something on the British. They've been winning everything else horse-wise, so
I know.
We get this one.
Yeah.
Send American Pharaoh over there to Dubai Cup. He'll take them. All right. Well, you did good, Managing Editor Kristen Kovach. You pass. You're allowed to come back.
Phew. All right. Good.
Well, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you. Have a good week.
All right. Horsenation.com is where you can find all of that good stuff. Well, you know what? I actually spent some time this morning looking for other horse news. I didn't find any.
I found one story.
Okay,
actually,
go ahead.
But, I mean, it's about racing, but, you know, it qualifies. Our friend California Chrome is in the news as well.
Oh,
because,
really?
Yeah, he's
has been.
What do you mean?
The has-been California Chrome, the one who didn't win the Triple Crown.
He's still wonderful.
Because it will never be won again, ever.
Ever.
Never.
As long as I live, I'll
Nobody's
never see
ever going to see it again, ever.
Well, he's not dead. I did see a Facebook post from him afterwards that had nothing to do with it because I follow him just all because right. It's entertaining. So he's still alive, so he was wrong. And he needs to come out and say, I was wrong.
Yes, he does.
That should have been his only Facebook post. I was wrong.
Wrong. That, exactly. It should have been. He will never do it, though.
Well, anyway, they found a rider to ride California Chrome. He's going to be in the Prince of Wales Stakes on June 17th at the Royal
Ascot.
That's right.
I forgot he was still in England.
And well, you don't chase him around like I do. I still kind of follow him. I love him. But a rider named William Buick. So we'll have to ask Victoria if she knows who he is. William Buick.
I hope he runs better than the cars do.
Is a Buick not a reliable
They're
car?
Not known for their reliability, no.
Well, so. He's going to be driving not the actual vehicle, so hopefully he'll be better off. But hey, as far as the tale goes, I kind of feel like Thor, my Mustang Thor, and American Pharaoh are brothers. Did you see the post that Thor made on his Facebook page?
I saw Thor posting that he thought that they were brothers because his tail's about the same length.
Yeah, his tail is chewed off in the holding pens. So
that's kind of what happened to American Pharaoh, actually.
Hail the tail!
His tail got chewed off in a holding pen, too.
I know. You know, did you see the interview with Justin Zayat that said that they think that Mr. Z is the one that chewed the tail off?
Yes.
How funny is that?
And does Justin Zayat, that's the son, right? Does Justin always look like he kind of got deer in the headlights going on?
He's a goofy little thing, isn't he?
Yes, I mean, I'm kind of surprised. Well, the dad's kind of emotional, too. They're kind of an interesting family. But every time I see the son, he kind of got the deer in the headlights thing going on. It's...
Did you see him after the derby? What happened in the box?
No.
They say he wasn't drinking, but the second he won, they came across the finish line, the cameras panned up to him, and he threw up in the owner's box.
Oh, I didn't see that. I missed
it. Oh, you got to Google it. It's hilarious. Justin Zayat pukes. And he just said that it was the excitement that got him. I'm like, whatever, dude. You've been drinking.
Two, three bottles of champagne.
Champagne and probably whatever. What are those, mint juleps? I mean, who doesn't throw up when you drink those things? So
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. It's hilarious.
I didn't know that. Well, you know, I think Victor and I have something in common. We both like the S word. Apparently, it's our favorite swear word. I think that makes us brothers. You know?
You guys look alike, too.
Yeah, we do. Definitely. We definitely look alike. Well, this has been fun. Thank you so much to all the listeners that called in earlier. We really, really appreciate our guest joining us today, Jerry Crawford of Donegal Racing. It was very nice of him to do it Friday and today. And you know, we need to have him back when we talk about racing stuff. He'd be a good one to have. He obviously has opinions and is not afraid to talk about them either, which is good. So
perfect.
I like that. Yep. I like that. And of course, Kristen did good on her first day here on the show. So we appreciate her. But this has been fun for us. We promise some non-racing coverage here coming up. We really do. We'll be getting back to normal now. I know the excitement's going to wane down and American Pharoah will go into the history books. And then we'll have to wait till the Breeders' Cup, which, by the way, is in Kentucky.
I know. I want to go so bad. I had somebody in the area say, you can stay at our house if you want to come. Ugh, how tempting is that? I just might have to go.
You just wait. Well, then you can report live for us.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do.
Hey,
no, I think it's great. And I appreciate everybody being, you know, whether you're a fan of racing or not, everybody was touched by American Pharoah in the Triple Crown this weekend. So thank you guys for jumping in and cheering and making us feel good and calling the show and being so excited and talking to us about it. Super nice. We love you guys.
Tomorrow morning, we have Karen here for the Taryn Chat. We'll be here for the endurance episode. So we'll be changing gears to short races to long races on the show tomorrow. And then Jamie will be back on Wednesday. So we want you all to have a terrific day. Do you want me to play it out again? Do you want to hear the race played out of the show today?
That's a great idea. I would like to point out that my child is screaming again. And okay. You never would have heard that if our sound wasn't as good. So you got to take the good with the bad.
Hey, you know, I got to say this. You know, I got Jerry said nice things about us. I'm going to say a nice thing about you. I know how difficult it is to do this show and look at the number of screens we look at and keep track of everything and try and concentrate. You do it with a child screaming in the background. I don't know how you do it. My hat's off to you, my friend, that you can do this at all. So we appreciate you and we appreciate you still being here when I know there's some difficult days and it makes it hard. So thank you.
Oh, that's really sweet. Well, nobody's successful without a good team. And when I type a secret message to you that says, I'll be right back. I got to change your diaper. You just jump right in and you guys take over. So I'd be nowhere without y'all. So thank you very much. It's very sweet.
See you, everybody. Listen one more time.
American Pharoah, but he will be sent to the lead by Victor Espinosa, so he waits no longer. Right to the front for American Pharoah in the race to the first turn, but he did not come out of the gate all that well. Frosted is away running in second position. Materiality is third to the outside. A ground-saving run for Mukhtahij, who's right behind American Pharoah into that first turn that made from Lucky. Kenai's Taylor Verve, and the trailer is from Ento. The opening quarter mile was 24 seconds flat. A sensible fraction for American Pharoah, who leads the way on that sweeping first turn here at Belmont Park. And Materiality is kept close by John Velasquez running in second position. Mukhtahij, Frosted, and Keen Ice are right there. Keen Ice is not far behind at all. He's two lengths off the lead. Then it's Made from Lucky. It's four lengths more back to Taylor Verve and Fromento of 48 and 4 half mile. So it continues to be a moderate tempo up the backstretch here. And it is American Pharoah who leads the way by 3/4 of a length. And Materiality keeps the pressure on in second. Moot Tahij is third on the inside. And then comes Keen Ice in fourth. Frosted is fifth. Made from Lucky. Ridden along to keep up with the field. He's sixth, and he's 4.5 lengths off of American Pharoah. Fromento and Taylor Verve are at the back of the pack. So, American Pharoah is halfway home in the Belmont. 3/4 went at 1:13 and 2/5 seconds. And he begins his run into the far turn. 3/4 of a length ahead of Materiality in second. And then it's Keen Ice on the outside of Moot Tahij. Frosted in traffic behind them. And then Made from Lucky on the outside around the far turn. And American Pharoah continues to lead the way. He's on top by 3/4 of a length. Moot Tahij is off the rail. And now he's a length behind in second. And American Pharoah kicks away. American Pharoah has opened up a 2-length lead as they come to the top of the stretch. And Frosted has moved up into second. And they're into the stretch. And American Pharoah makes his run for glory as they come into the final furlong. Frosted is second with 1/8 of a mile to go. American Pharoah's got a 2-length lead. Frosted is all out at the 16th pole. And here it is. The 37-year wait is over. American Pharoah is finally the one. American Pharoah has won the Triple Crown.
Because you know I'm all about that tail, and the triple. I'm all about that tail, go Pharoah. I'm all about that tail, and the triple. I'm all about that tail, 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 tail.
He did it! American Pharoah has ended the 37-year drought to a deafening roar from the fans here at Belmont Park.